We walked in and it got quiet.
I haven't heard from him, so I'm assuming he's coming. I think we do. Well, we need five.
Because I'm never sure who is included in that.
Mm-hmm. So it's good to know.
We're at five.
Are we at five then?
Four.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Five. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, let's call the meeting to order. Everybody, take a look at the minutes. See if there's any questions.
So I'm Matthew Colley, and I am new to this particular part of the division, and moving forward I will be coordinating the 140 reviews across the state. So I'm coming in to observe, draw, and her presentation skills.
I told him it's really nothing big.
All right, so as you guys know, Kenosha, the health department just went through the what we call the 140 review. So in the state of Wisconsin, Administrative Rule 140 outlines and guides what health departments need to provide as a health department within the state. Wisconsin is the only state that has three levels of health departments. And so Wisconsin DHS 140 outlines what each of those levels, what you need to accomplish as a health department to achieve that level. Level 3 is the highest level of health department that you can achieve within the state of Wisconsin. We are required as a state health department to review all of our health departments within the state every 5 years to ensure that they are providing the services that are required by statute and rule to their communities. And so Cindy graciously volunteered to go a little bit early this year because we are currently undergoing a revision to DHS 140. And kind of overhauling that whole system in partnership with our local health departments to make it a little bit more friendly and aligned with best practices than it is now. So with that being said, we completed the review for the Kenosha Health Department. Some of you were part of that review, so nice to see you guys again. And I'm happy to report that we've determined that Kenosha is a level 3 health department, again, the highest level of health department that you can achieve as a state. So I'm here today to present the certificate to Cindy and her staff and all of you because Cindy can't do the work that she does without you guys supporting her and without her staff supporting her. So, and that was very evident within the 140 review when we did that, is the amount of support, the amount of partnership that she has within the community and those relationships just really shined through. So congratulations. I'm very excited to bring it. So I don't know if you want any pictures.
Is he going to take a photo for our Facebook page?
Yeah. And really, the chairman and the vice chairman, Dr. Gerlach and John O'Day, really there. I commend you for both of your leadership with our advisory board and all the members, that everyone that comes gives their support and acknowledgement and recommendations in regards to the future and ongoing practices of the health department. So everybody participates in this endeavor and this success also. So thank you, everyone.
Yes, thank you. So if your ears are ever ringing, I'm always talking about how Kenosha's got the great relationships and their community built up and how supportive their board is. So it's always good things when I'm talking about Kenosha. So happy to be here today to do that. So who do you all want?
Dr. Gerlach.
Yes. John. And where would you like us to stand?
I can get you from here. So
okay.
You don't have to go very far. Yeah.
Happy to.
Involved, absolutely. And of course, it really the whole Board of Health is a part of all of this.
Okay, let me find.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay.
What percentage?
Thank you very much.
What percentage of health departments get level 3?
I just had to run these stats from the secretary's office. So I'm gonna do some digging back in my brain. I know we have one level health department left in the state of Wisconsin.
One level one.
We have 85 health departments in the state of Wisconsin. One of them is level one. I want to say, was it in the 58? Don't quote me on that. I'll get you the exact numbers.
I'm writing these down.
I'll get you the exact numbers because I just had to go through and update all of that. Level three is something to really be proud of because it means you're really delivering the highest level of services that a health department can deliver within the state of Wisconsin. So,
thank you, John.
It's all good stuff. But I will get you the exact stats if you want that. And I'll send them to Cindy and she can forward them to whoever wants them.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
To public health preparedness, Stacy.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm Stacy Wines. I'm the Public Health Community Specialist with the Division of Health. I'm going to be talking about our Public Health Emergency Preparedness Program, or FEP, that's how we'll refer to it moving forward. Just some background, we've been receiving FEP funding since 2002, and this stemmed from September 11th and then the subsequent anthrax attacks. And actually, I started in preparedness in 2003, and at that time, the funding was actually going through a consortium structure where it was counties working together, and it was Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties at that time. But about 5-6 years into that, they moved to more of a local structure where the funding went from the state directly to local health departments. What is a public health emergency? It's really just a threat of an illness or health condition. It's a situation becomes emergent when the health's consequences have the potential to overwhelm routine community capabilities. And some potential public health threats, communicable disease outbreaks, nuclear radiological release, toxic hazardous substance release, terrorism, natural disasters or severe weather, such as tornadoes or flooding, utility interruptions, product tampering or recalls. So a lot of our planning revolves around these events. Again, the funding for our program comes directly from the CDC, funnels to the state, and then to local health departments. Kenosha County, we receive two streams of funding. One is our general FEP funds. Then we are also part of the City Readiness Initiative, which is separate funding. And we are that funding goes to areas where they see potential risk being higher. So we are actually in the Chicago Metropolitan Statistical Area for CRI, just because of where we're located, that's where we fall. We do most of our planning, though, with the Milwaukee MSA, so just because they're in the state and home rule and a lot of the statutes fall in Wisconsin, most of our planning is with that Milwaukee area. We do have a relationship with the Chicago MSA. There's some sharing of information, but most of our planning is with Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Our budget period runs July 1st to June 30th. It's usually a five-year cooperative grant the CDC does with the state, and then it's that yearly funding that gets released to the health departments. We are currently wrapping up year two of the five-year cycle. So we're kind of wrapping things up, and I'll get into locally what we're working on. The local funding is based on population, with then that also that additional funding being on risk. They do have restrictions on what the funds can be spent for. It's common sense things like promotional items, lobbying or fundraising, construction, or purchasing vehicles. But we do training, things we need for the health department, a lot of different things. So preparedness funding, we really use for that all hazards response. Planning for preparedness, there are CDC preparedness capabilities. Public health is capability 15, healthcare is 8. We also plan pandemic influenza, which I'll touch on. And countywide, we have an emergency operations plan. In that is an emergency support function, or ESF. We're ESF 8, is health and medical. There's also ESF 6 that we touched in care and housing and human services. So that's emergency management, which we work very closely with. Under that, there are very specific public health preparedness capabilities. I believe there's 15. And then there's healthcare preparedness capabilities. Every year, when our funding comes down and we get objectives released to us that we have to fulfill, there's usually a focus under this. Our current focus for our budget year right now is emergency public information and warning and information sharing. So with that, the state wants us to focus on those areas with our goals and objectives, which we do. I'm hearing the next grant cycle, it's going to move more to mass care, medical countermeasure dispensing, the medical surge. So that's kind of what the focus will be for the next grant year. Training is a big emphasis. We really want to make sure our staff are trained for any kind of response. So with that, there are certain criteria for training. We have staff complete various things depending on where they fall. All staff need to complete NIMS, which is the National Incident Management System training. There's a 700 online course. And then there's an 800, which is an all-hazards response online training. Then the ICS stands for Incident Command System training. All staff need to complete the 100, which is an online course. And then as you move in, managers need to do 300. Team leaders need to do 200. So kind of as you fall, Incident Command System's a training that looks at a response structure and how you would respond. And it's really to make sure that everybody has the same lingo down when you respond to an event. So it's really good for our staff to do that. Exercising is also a big component to our program. We follow the Homeland Security Exercise and Evaluation Program, or HSEE. There are a lot of acronyms for preparedness.
A lot of acronyms with everything.
And usually there's a procedure that they want you to follow when you're doing exercises. You start with drills, you move then to a tabletop exercise, to then a functional, and then a full scale. And really it's to design, build, conduct, and evaluate. And as you evaluate those exercises, you put together improvement plans, which then you move into the next exercise to look at those improvement items. We are also part of a healthcare coalition. This is something within the last 5 years Wisconsin has moved to. It's really a broad scope of healthcare partnerships. We're shifting kind of from planning to response and recovery. It's really a formal health coordination structure at the regional level. And it's looking at situational awareness of medical resources, alerting and communication, bed availability counts, patient tracking, surge capacity for disaster events. We are in HERC, which is our Healthcare Emergency Response Coalition. We're in HERC Region 7, so you can see it's a pretty big area. Population-wise, we're the biggest healthcare coalition. And our healthcare coalition consists of public health, hospitals, long-term care facilities, emergency management, Red Cross. I mean, it really is a coalition of a lot of agencies, and we meet monthly, and then as a public health caucus, we meet quarterly to really work on things and make sure everybody's in line with what we should be doing, so that we're not in our silos and really working together. Local activities, so as Kenosha County Division of Health, this is what we're currently working on, reviewing and revising plans. We have three plans. One is our general public health emergency plan, which can be scaled up or down depending on the event. We have a mass dispensing plan, which is if we need to open up mass clinics to dispense either medication or vaccine to the community, how we would do that, and then our pandemic influenza plan. So those plans, I try not to just have sitting on shelves. I really try to utilize those plans and make sure they're up to date. Part of our CRI, part of our funding, required us to do a medical countermeasure operational readiness review, or what we call an MCMOR. That was completed in January, and that was the state coming down. There's a tool they use where they actually review our mass clinic plans and really make sure they're where they need to be. Have we been exercised? Do we have plans for all our different mass clinic locations? The review went very well. There are some improvement items that I'll be implementing then into this next grant year, but overall it was a good review. The other big focus for Kenosha and regionally is closed dispensing. That is, so an open pod is a public dispensing site that provides medication to the general public. So that's what public health would be doing. A closed pod, though, is a non-medical dispensing site that provides medication to a targeted dispensing population. So we're currently working with several organizations on becoming a closed pod. So they would actually receive their own little stockpile of medication to dispense to their employees and families. So in an event, we would be opening our open pods. They would get medication and have to kind of on their own dispense this medication. So it's a lot of work, and I'm really trying to get them then up to speed and sufficient so that they're able to do that. Currently working with City of Kenosha, Aurora, Brainerd South. So the hospitals are the big ones. Brookside, KB&A, and then Kenosha County. And we're going to be doing a local tabletop exercise on May 16th. So I'm bringing all those groups together. Some are at various levels of planning with closed dispensing, but bringing them all there to just kind of run through what would happen, how would they do it. They can share things, ask questions, so I'm hoping it'll be a good thing. And then really the focus, closed dispensing won't go away, but the focus the next grant year will really move from that anthrax scenario that we've been using to more pandemic influenza. Not to say an anthrax release wouldn't happen, but the likelihood is pretty low. Pandemic we could actually see. So the focus for planning is going to move more to that pandemic situation. That's my information. Any questions at all?
Do involve, I know a number of years ago I was involved in the CERT, Community Emergency Response Team.
Mm-hmm. That's something emergency management, I believe, oversaw.
Okay.
I don't know if it's still in existence. The state has a registry called Weaver where people can sign up to volunteer. In a real event, we would reach out. During H1N1, we did a pretty good job reaching out for volunteers, medical and non-medical volunteers, to help with our clinics. So I think with that, we have a good kind of list of people, and then Weaver, but I don't believe the service.
Do you have any resistance or meet any resistance out of any of the groups out in the community?
As far as
cooperating with you and helping?
No, quite the opposite. They reach out to me.
Okay.
And want help. And
but you're the organizer, right?
Right. So yeah, no, I mean with closed dispensing, it's really an advantage for them to be a part of it, and I try to relay that to them.
Yeah. Is there a reason that KUSD is not involved?
They're on my list. I just haven't. So my first tier has really been looking at healthcare like the hospitals, long-term care, and first responders.
Okay.
My next tier will look at probably KFC and then the big businesses in the area to see if they'd be on board, because really the intent of closed dispensing is to alleviate the numbers coming to the open pods and just get the medication out as quickly as possible. So,
like Carthage, I mean, kind of the Carthage, the Parkside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. That would all be kind of, for me and my plan, that next tier. Because it really, it's not just one meeting with these agencies, mm-hmm. and it's really a process. We're getting it. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Leanne Blank is up next with population health overview.
Thank you, Karen, for coordinating all of our PowerPoints. So I'm the Population Health Project Manager. I've been in my role for a little over a year and a half with the organization, and again, it's a new role, so trying to figure out the bugs and the kinks and figuring out how everything fits here. So here's my team. We've got the school nurses, the prevention team, K-Life, National Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families. Stacy's on my team as our epidemiologist and public health community specialist. We also have the MCH, Maternal Child Health Contract, and the WIC subcontract on my team. So we've had a few changes over the last year with our K-Life program. Pam Smith retired in July of 2018. Atifa Robinson came on board at that time. We've had some movement in our school nurse team with a new nurse joining us in February of 2019. She's also going to be part of our maternal child health team as well. Our maternal child health grant changed objectives from safe sleep and developmental screening to now health equity and developmental screening. And I think that's all the changes, but that's enough for now. So you can see our school nurses also wear a couple of different hats. Some of our school nurses work with Prevention Services Network, Early Head Start, Head Start, and the Asthma Prevention Program, as well as being a school nurse out in the community. So a little update on Healthy People Kenosha County. We have some of our steering committee members in the room with us. Cindy, Diane, myself, and Stacy also sit on the steering committee for Healthy People. So we contracted with consultants last summer, spring, Amy Murphy, and she's been with us for about a year now. I think last May she started with us. So it was really exciting to be able to work with someone from the outside to do all this work instead of me and Stacy kind of doing the work ourselves. We've had quite a few steering committees from May to September. I think we had four different meetings. Our steering committee wanted to meet throughout the summer, which was great. And we did most of the work in this room, just kind of diving deeper into the health concerns of Kenosha County. And then were we able to have two large partner gatherings in October and November with about 50 community partners, and narrowed down the focus even further. Finally landed on mental wellness and nutrition with an early interventions focus as our two primary objectives that we'll be focusing on for our next community health improvement plan, which will be starting in January of 2020 already. And we've got some big focus group meetings coming up April 29th and May 30th. We're gonna be, Amy's gonna be busy that day. She's doing 4 hours with one focus group in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon, both of those days. And then June 24th is the next mm-hmm. one. We've got a big meeting with everybody that will be coming together and putting some goals and objectives on paper, and then Stacy and I will be taking it and bringing it to life, which is really exciting. So rest of 2019, we'll be really busy with that and rolling out the beginning of 2020. So as Cindy said last week, we're actually going to have a plan at the beginning of 2020 and not like halfway through the year. I've been doing some surveys with our staff in conjunction with our strategic plan to just gather some more data. Did a longevity survey last spring, conducted with staff that worked here for 15 or more years. And just to, in order to develop a stronger onboarding program, to find out why staff have been able to stay in their role for this long of a period of time, what do they enjoy about the organization, what can we build into our new staff. Did some focus groups, and then our team leaders started working on an onboarding process. I did a workforce development survey last fall, and that was conducted at our all-staff meeting. We had 86% of our staff participate in that, and a communication survey in December with 70% of our staff participating in that. So these all connect with different goals in our strategic plan for the organization, which we're about maybe at the halfway point. We started in 2017 with the strategic plan. Social media, I partner with Joe Patente, who's our communications director for the whole county. He helps me with getting our Facebook page off the ground. We've done a lot with the last year, doing videos and photos of our local programs, bringing them to life for the community instead of just putting some national news out there. People really want to see our faces and our organization out there on our Facebook page. And I've been partnering with our managers. We've had assignments of each of our divisions. I have a person that's working with me on our social media, which is really helpful, so I don't have to do it by myself. And we've had over 300 followers. We got that achievement in February, and right now we're at 316 likes and 334 followers as of this morning when I checked. So we're getting there. It's a slow process. It's I think some people's Facebook pages might be more exciting to look at than the Division of Health, so they, you know, get things going. Our most popular posts lately have been our Narcan program. Radon Awareness Month was a big one in January. We just did National Public Health Week. And just any stories or photos related to our teams, people just latch onto those because it's a familiar face in the community. So if you've not logged on and liked our Facebook page, please go ahead and do that. It's Facebook and it's Kenosha County Health. We tried to make it a little bit simpler, not Kenosha County Division of Health. Like I said, our strategic plan, we're about halfway through. It's, the plan started in 2017. It's going through 2021. Onboarding our quality improvement team, which Stacy leads up, and all of our team leaders are a part of that. Cindy joined us last week to kind of talk a little bit about more about the onboarding process. We're going to be putting together a binder for each of our new staff so they have something in hand when they walk in the door. So hopefully a lot of the questions that even I've had as a new staff get answered in that binder if they can't find another staff to go to. And Cindy's mentioning the onboarding process is really taking about a 3-year period of time instead of just that first week. That's more orientation, but really focusing on that onboarding as a whole and just meeting the people in the community, meeting the people in the building, and just figuring out how we fit within that bigger process. Branding, I brought some of our branding tools along today. So we have bags, we got 2,500 of these. These are at our front desk with our logo on it. And anytime someone buys a radon kit or a well water test kit, or our Narcan team uses these out in the community, they have our logo on just to show that we are the Division of Health and we're all connected. And then all of our staff last week got these backpacks when they go out with their home visits, or you know, the sanitarians, or I brought it to a training I went to last week, just kind of showing off our logo and showing that we're all connected. We're also going to be debuting. We've got a table out in the hallway when you leave. We've got our tablecloth out there and some information on our programs. I just started working with one of our staff this morning on a rotating schedule of getting our programs out there, so each program will have the opportunity to have a month where they showcase their program and brand our individual programs out to the community as well. And we're working on communication, which is goal 7 of our strategic plan. Stacy heads up our communication work group, and we're going to get that back moving forward. Our community partnerships are working on community mapping and how do all our partners connect. Staff education is another piece that I'm really all for. LinkedIn Learning, we have 39 of our staff that are taking this opportunity to be able to do a webinar at their desk, or a quick 1 or 2 minute video on, you know, anything from communication to leadership. Some of the popular videos on LinkedIn Learning have been body language for leaders, finding your management style, and overcoming your fear of public speaking, which I thought was interesting. So there's a lot of stuff out there on LinkedIn that our staff can do right at their desk, which is great. Our team leaders and our management team are part of Living as a Leader, which is a Kenosha County-wide leadership development program I just started last month, and I thought it was really interesting. I got about 25 people in my class, You know, Cindy's in year four with the lead managers. Mark, are you still in it, or you graduated?
Yes, we graduated.
You're in it? he's perfect. He did all the leadership. He's good. And then quarterly staff education is something we just started in February. Our teams have an opportunity to present to each other on what they are doing in the community, who their staff are, and how they all can connect. So our next quarterly staff education is happening in May, and I should invite our board to join us if they want to pop in. We're doing like just a quick hour on four of our programs every quarter, so I think it's been pretty valuable. So thank you. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, Cindy.
Great. Well, first of all, thank you, Stacy and Leanne, for your presentation. Appreciate it. Last week was National Public Health Week, and so our staff had an all-staff meeting. We typically do have an all-staff meeting during Public Health Week, and we recognize our staff for their years of service. This year, we want to recognize our board and the years of service that each of you have done and received. Want to give you a certificate of your years of achievement. So first of all, I'd like to present to a certificate of recognition to John O'Day. And this is an appreciation of 21 years of service with the Board of Health. So thank you. And then our next person who's been here quite a while is Dr. Maritato. So Dr. Maritato, we appreciate your years of service and recognition to you with the Board of Health, 18 years. Going out of order just because of logistics here, but Dr. Regner, I'd like to appreciate you also for 5 years of service with the Board of Health.
I'm a newbie.
We want to get a picture of everybody after we're
yes,
done.
Please.
We're all about social media.
Dr. Gerlach, I'd like to appreciate you for 6 years of service with the Board of Health. So thank you very much.
I'm the newbie.
Oh, you are?
So we'd like to thank you and appreciate you for 2 years of service. So thank you very much. We appreciate you. Volunteered to be here, and you've been appointed by our county exec, and we're grateful for your time and talents that you bring to the table. So a few things to just bring you up to speed with. Again, our 140 review. We're level 3 again, and as Dawn left, she gave me this note that there are 35 level 3 health departments in the state of Wisconsin. 49 that are level 2, and 1 that is a level 1. So that kind of gives you an idea of what's going on and where we fit with the state. Our environmental team, I think it was mentioned, May 1st, they're gearing up for licensing season. That's always a big deal. We're going to have a lot of people here bringing in their license payment, so fees. And so our front desk, Karen and her team, Dahlia, they'll be working the new electronic cash registering system. That's a new system that they bring money in and how it's collected and tabulated rather than just hanging on to the cash. It goes right into a mechanical device. Our HUD program, right now they're out and about again with the weather being nice and it's beautiful today, so they're able to catch up on the units that they're working on. Our lab, we did receive, I think it was last week, the analyzer, right?
Yep.
The machine arrived. So,
well, it came in boxes.
Yeah. Did you have to put it together?
The technician is not coming until May to put it together for
us. So it's here and now.
That tells you how our world goes.
Well, I'm not putting it together.
We finally got it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know how to put a blood alcohol analyzer together.
Like the bike for Christmas.
You know, and we get this new equipment. I know our nurse practitioner got a new ultrasound machine, and it's like, you know, it's like Christmas. And now here, lab just got this blood alcohol analyzer, and now they can't even use it till May, but you get so excited. Clinical services, our Kenosha Immunization Coalition, or KICK Symposium, is scheduled for July 16th, and I believe it'll be at the museum. Right now, the clinical service team is working with the detention center. There's 4 atypical TB cases in corrections. Last July, if you recollect, the state they approved in statute that latent tuberculosis infectious cases are required to be case investigated. That has really increased our caseload. We have 23 in quarter one that we do case investigation on, and then do DOT, directly observed therapy, just like an active case of medication. So it has definitely impacted the workload. Our non-walk-ins, nurse of the day walk-ins, for the first quarter at the job center, there's been 2,030 people that have walked in. Of those, just under 1,500 were urine drug tests. Kind of gives you an idea of impact. KCC, out in the county, there were 84 clients that walked in, and 42 of those were drug urine tests. And at the wellness center at the WIC location, there were 112 clients. Our Title X grant under the Family Planning Reproductive Health Team, that grant has ended. And our home visitation program, they're working on their MULTIP pilot program. So that's women with more than one child. Often that program started with first-time parents, and so now we're adding on another phase. Our Narcan team, I believe we're still at 79 people in the community that have been trained, unless that number has
I think changed. Every month I give you a new number, so Betsy will give me something new today.
Yep. Our medication-assisted treatment program, we've had 50 clients receive injections. Our mental health first aid training has been initiated, and that's been something that's been in discussion for quite some time. And now that's kicking off, so we're glad to see that. WIC with their van, it's called WIC on the Go, that started doing home visits. And so we're in discussion of how does public health and how do we might be wrapping in working with them. Our K-Life, the Kenosha Life Course Initiative, they're on a no-cost extension process, and you might have mentioned that with your presentation. Our asthma control, we're in year 5 of a 5-year plan, and so now we're in discussion with the state and CDC on next steps and continuing. With our geographic location, asthma prevention and control there's a lot of families that are affected. Our fiscal team is working on end of the year reports. And last, our staffing. We have a new public health tech that will start April 22nd. We'll have a school nurse that's, as Leanne mentioned, started February 27th. We have 2 public health nurses that are on accident and sickness. And then we also have another public health tech that's pending. So those are my updates. Questions?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Corporate counsel?
Nothing really.
Any other business? Any other comments? Then can we have a motion to adjourn? Second?
Can we get a picture of all of you guys too with your certificates and your volunteers?
They don't fit in pictures.
More photos.